Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler. Welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. I am so excited for each and every single one of you tuning into this episode. Dan isn't here, but instead I have a really, really special guest who is going to absolutely blow your minds and just get into your hearts when it comes to really learning about eating and diet and nutrition and health from a place of putting you first and being much more intuitive about it. So I'd love to welcome on my amazing, amazing friend, Callie, who is an absolute incredible coach when it comes to intuitive eating. So Callie, hi.
Hi. Thanks, Sophie. The most amazing human I know. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on. And I know when Dan and I were kind of diving in on some of the other episodes, I was like, wow, who do I know that is just amazing when it comes to intuitive eating and to the self-love and the self-confidence? And really the first person that came to mind was you, and just knowing how much work you've done around yourself, especially in creating a lifestyle that is based off of not just how you look, but how you feel and feeling more confident through that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a process like we'll talk about today. Just definitely not a one pill and done. So
yeah.
It's exciting.
Well, let's go ahead and just dive right in. I'd love to kind of just jam out and really just start with, you know, where most people kind of start when they come to find you, right? And for a lot of us, especially in the Western world, and especially in California, there's this idea around needing to constantly look a certain way and have your body look a certain way. And especially for a lot of women, the body stigmas that kind of go around that and having to be thin and look fit and all of the things and all of the diets and exercise, and not to knock on any of them, because again, that may be appropriate for where you are in your life. But really just talking about how that really takes a toll and an effect on some people's mentality and mindset when they're so focused on trying to look a certain way versus focusing on how they feel.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this society, we like to say, like, the beauty standards and the diet mentality really starts when going by how we look over how we feel. And so, you know, the women that come to me are, quite frankly, they're desperate. They've been on diet after diet after diet, and they basically hit diet bottom. And so they're so desperate that they'll think about doing anything, right? And so that's, of course, something that we have to address when we talk about food, because if the intention to start changing your behavior doesn't start and be reformed from the inside, it's really not going to last. And we see in these long-term studies that that dieting categorically does not work and even turns it back even worse. So, like, afterwards, they gain more weight and more unhappiness. So there's a lot, like you're saying, spot on. There's biologically and psychologically both these two kind of deadly things that go on in this diet cycle.
Yeah, I love that. And I think for a lot of women especially, there's this concept of, I have to look a certain way in order to feel good about myself. Mm-hmm. And so many women attach their self-worth and are the way that they feel about themselves to their body. And so I think that for a lot of women, and self-included, that's kind of where the diet mentality starts. It's like, well, I want to feel better, so I need to look better. So let me go and either starve myself or go on this crazy diet or this fat or whatever I think will create the body that I think is what's going to give me the confidence. And what's really interesting about that, especially from personal experience, when I was doing the bikini comp training, I was doing all of the dieting and doing all of the crazy training. And what I was finding is, like, energetically, I was so tired and just so, like, sure, my body was the best that it's ever been, but at the same time, I had never felt worse physically and emotionally than I had at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to kind of just get your perspective on it and really understanding what's happening for these women when they're so focused in the idea that it's the body image or the way that they look that's going to make them feel better.
Yeah. And I hear you too. I mean, I wouldn't have called myself a chronic dieter, actually. I mean, I was a raw vegan. Like, I was super into health. very, very strict, like, don't wash my lettuce in tap water. Like, how dare you? You know, very careful, very health conscious. But what was happening was, for me, I was a closet dieter and on the outside, very healthy. And people would, you know, I was putting off this image just like we do to aspire to the image, right? So on the outside, everything is smiles and kale smoothies. And on the inside, you know, things are very, very disruptive psychologically and very emotionally draining. And so when I've realized I was not in a good spot, I was a diet bottom, like I like to say, but it was more of realizing, you know, waking up, I was on this medical weight loss, 500 calories a day, like inject yourself, like women do crazy things, okay, when we're desperate. And I woke up that morning, I was living in Ojai, California, and I was the thinnest I've ever been, and like bangability factor high, you know? And I was miserable. And so I was slapped in the face on that last day of my diet. Like, I look this way and something is very, very wrong. I feel depressed. I can't get out of bed. Like, there's something missing. And that is the point that I realized I want something more than I want to be thin. And that is happy. So happiness and healthy, this kind of, that's where this all morphed from, is not only the health aspect, but the spiritual aspect and the emotional aspect that has to be there for a truly healthy, holistic being.
Yeah. I love that. And I love hearing your story. And I think it rings true for so many women when we work so hard to get this specific body type and then we get there and then we realize that we're still not happy with ourselves or that we still don't have the self-worth or the self-love. And it can become devastating, truly, when you work so hard for something and then you get it and you realize that it's still not what you actually wanted. It's really interesting because from there, it's like, well, where do you go? Yeah. And I guess the answer to that is the only place you can go, which is inwards, where you actually have to start looking at what's showing up for you internally and what your beliefs are about yourself and how you actually feel about you. I know for me, it was kind of similar to what you're talking about. It was wanting to be happy, but more importantly, it was wanting to actually have the energy to get through the day again, because it was kind of like, well, fuck, like my calorie deficit is so insane. And the amount of like lack of carbs and all of the other macronutrients is just like so disproportionate that it was no wonder why I was having the anxiety and the adrenal fatigue and everything else that was coming up, because I was pushing way too hard. And not to say that, again, for certain people, that may be great for what you're doing right now. But for me at that point in time, it just didn't make any sense anymore.
Yeah. And I like to say, you know, this is, if pain with body and food and that struggle is so deep, it's like Janine Roth quote, and she says, everything has a crack in it. That's how the light gets in. So with that being the biggest food struggle and the biggest obsession and that being so painful, that is kind of, we use food and the body as the crack to enter into the light. So we use that as the pain point to actually use food as your portal to your own spiritual nature. And that is like forever fascinating to me, because it's really what we're looking for. It's truly what we're craving.
Yeah, I love it. And I'm curious, because I know a lot of women have different understandings or different ideas about health and what that means, or intuitive eating specifically. And I know for a lot of women, there's this fear that if I'm not on a diet, or if I'm not restricting my calories, or if I'm not counting my macros, how will I ever get the body that I actually want? I'd love to hear your opinion on that.
Yes. And it's such a prevalent fear, because diet mentality is so strong. And it's put us in this place where it's like, if I don't have this, I have no lifeline and I'm basically going to let myself go. And that's the big fear. So let's talk about intuitive eating. So intuitive eating, it's based on the premise that every person is born with all the wisdom that he or she needs to know how, what, how much, and when to eat. And these are all things that we're told externally. And many, if you've gone on a diet or have done any kind of meal plan or something, then that thing will dictate how, what, how much, and when to eat. And so we've a lot of conflicting information up here in the mind chatter part of eating. So intuitive eating, you know, I work with so many clients that are weary of dieting, but they're terrified of eating. So they're in this rock and a hard place, right? Like you mentioned, like, what the hell do I do then? You know? And so the intuitive eating process is essentially the cure to the symptoms, which look like, oh my gosh, how many calories are in this? Oh my gosh, am I getting enough protein? Keto, paleo? Do I do a juice cleanse? How many carbs are in this? Is this going to make me fat? Is this low sodium? Ah! Help me. Yeah.
All the things.
All the things. So, and in fact, lots of women come to me that have food struggles come to me and they say they know what intuitive eating is. It's very easy to think that intuitive eating is just mindful eating or just listening to your body. And that's as far as it goes. So contrary to popular belief, it is actually a very specific process created over 25 years ago by two dietitians over in Beverly Hills. And this process has been perfected over the last 25 years with clinical research, other health practitioners. And it's really the premier, you know, system to help people in this place to get to food freedom, peace with food, and self-love. So there's been over 90 studies now on this process, and it's an actual, like, you know, step-by-step guided process. So it's not just listen to your body, bye, like a lot of people might think. And so because of all of this practice and this clinical research on this process, there's actually a woman named Tracy Tilka back in early 2000. She did a study on 1,300 females that actually did the intuitive eating process. And she found they had a higher sense of self-esteem, not only increased optimism, but lower BMI, which is body mass index. So they're not only within the lower weight or within the healthy weight range, they're also not idealizing the thin ideal. So they're not trying to walk around looking like a supermodel. And that's a very healthy, healthy thing. So what's amazing about this process is it's kind of like facing your programming and the crap that you've learned over the years. And when you go through this process, in the end, you basically healthier, for me, like being a raw foodist, right? It's like, damn, you're at the top of the like health, whatever. And I'm a much healthier person now than I was because I'm not binging, because I'm not closet eating, because of all these cravings toward foods and these unhealthy things. I'm a much healthier person in the end. So it's a really interesting process, and it's toppling everything we know on top of its head.
It's interesting too, because I love what you're bringing up here, and it's shifting from thinking that it's the body image or having a specific body image that's what's going to make you happy. And it's sounding, from what I'm hearing you say, it sounds kind of like it's learning how to really prioritize your health, and through feeling healthy, feeling good in your body, regardless of what it currently looks like, that's what helps to bring the self-love to where you start nurturing your body to look a certain way, but from a place of health rather than a place of punishment.
Yeah. It's like many women will say, I've never taken care of myself to this level in my life. And it's like, you know, when with intuitive, that word intuitive is instinctual, right? So it's like, I like to say it's like peeing. We don't have a lot of emotional charge around peeing, right? We just feel it, we do it. But with hunger, it's a lot different. There's a lot more complicated things that we've learned. So it's getting back to that very basic body instinctual. It knows what to do. And now I have the tools to learn how to listen to it.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like for a lot of the women that you've worked with too, not only are they able to really drop a lot of the emotional stuff, because I mean, let's get really honest about it. People don't join diets because they just want to look a certain way. They join diets or they do all these crazy things because of what they believe that doing that will make them feel, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, people go on diets, people join gyms, people do whatever it is because they want to feel a certain way. And it's that emotional stimulation that they're really after. And so it's interesting as we take away the emotional charge of the only way that you're ever going to feel happy or that you're going to love yourself is when you get to a certain weight. And we kind of reverse that. It's kind of like, from what I'm hearing you say, when you start to really love yourself and you start to really nurture yourself and you start to feel really happy and really energized, then you start to actually shift the way that you look and you start to actually feel better about the way you look, regardless of you being at a specific weight or not.
Yeah. I mean, we use food as a way to punish ourselves, as a weapon, as a way to control ourselves, to cope with our emotions. So that's why I love this process, is we're using food as a tool. It's in your face 3 times a day or more. To use that as a tool to your own self-love, to your own, as a, that portal, you know, your spiritual nature, your emotions. And so it's a very tangible physical tool that you can use to actually start opening these deeper things up within you. It's really fun.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And I'd love to hear from you and just whatever you feel most comfortable in sharing and just some of the results or the shifts that you've seen either for yourself or with the women that you've worked with from the point where they came in and they met you and they were at what you call the diet bottom. And really the shift that they had in really going through this process and how it's transformed, not just their relationship with themselves, but really their entire life.
Yeah. And I love that. And like I said, a lot of women come to me feeling just hopeless about all of this. Like, I am ready to do anything and I don't want to do anything. And I relate with that because that diet bottom moment of mine, I thought, why would I be depressed about that? Like, I shouldn't be depressed on top of like food issues, right? Like, oh, just because I can't eat. But it is, it's a very real thing. So what happens is a lot of women, when they come in, they've been dieting, right? So weight will be trending upward in over years. So it'll be, and this is a very common, in fact, 95% of people gain back the weight they lost in a diet for, you know, between 1 to 5 years later. So their weight will be trending up. So what happens is your body will stop gaining and stabilize. And although our focus isn't on weight loss, that's often the first thing people want to hear. So there's that. And then if they're carrying extra weight, we'll return to their natural weight through this process. So your metabolism will actually become normalized again. And then what happens is you start to, you know, and become healthy is a very general word now, especially as a holistic nutritionist, that can mean many things to many people. But what really is the core of that is your body tells you, and you start craving foods that serve you and that nourish you. And so it's not this constantly falling off the wagon and getting back on the wagon and I'm trying again, you know, and get this like thing starting again on Monday. What I love about this process is you start to learn your own nutritional guidance system. So there's two parts of this. There's the emotional guidance system, right? And then there's this nutritional guidance system. And it's like a compass that you start to attune within yourself. So you get to point it, attune it to your own body instead of getting like the Jenny Craig thing and the Dr. Oz thing and the Oprah thing and the Weight Watchers thing. You can rely on your own internal compass for nutrition. That is a priceless thing. And many women doing this, you know, over and over and over, the yo-yo dieting and the weight cycling, they don't have any connection to what self-love means or body love. And so we start very, very basic, which is body respect, and learning what that is. And then they can begin to not only respect their body and then eventually get to body love. Instead of constant self-criticism. So that's the beautiful benefit. And if you do this process right, these are all things that you start to trust your hunger signals, your fullness signals. You become really certain about your eating, like eating in public and eating socially doesn't become an anxiety situation anymore. Becomes one of joy. And most importantly, and I think this is the focal point, like the hub of the wheel that drives it all, is rediscovering the pleasures of eating. Because over years, we have decided that pleasure equals bad and satisfaction equals I must be doing something wrong with food. And so as a result of this process, there's not any more a thought in your head about what you should be doing or feeling guilty. You just enjoy the satisfaction. You let the satisfaction, the pleasure actually drive this process. Mm-hmm. So, and that's amazing. That is like a huge shift because most women are opposite of that, right? It's like my body is my enemy kind of a thing. Yeah. So when you actually have pleasure and satisfaction driving it, it makes this whole thing work and sustainable.
That's really good. And I love it. And I love that it encompasses the bigger reasoning for women specifically and men, I'm sure as well, but I think you and I can speak more relatively to the women.
Yeah.
being one, it's just in the fact that it really is like this idea of coming back to really loving yourself and loving your body and nurturing it through nutrition versus punishing it to get it to be a certain way. It's kind of sounding like you're pivoting from being at war with yourself and with your body to actually like being on the same team with your body and listening to it versus fighting it.
Yeah. And that's a huge cognition. And often where we'll see the biggest shift is when they have that realization for themselves that there's trillions of things happening within the cellular system that are actually trying to heal you and working on like healing, working on, you know, synthesizing things correctly and that, you know, lock and key enzymes are working the right way. And a lot of times we forget that because we're like, oh, I just had my stomach just growled, gonna suppress it, right? Or it's these like, ignore my body because it's wrong and it doesn't know. Whoever told me the rule knows, and so I'm going to follow that. And that is inherently where the problems come.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And we see this with kids. Like, kids are popped out of the womb as intuitive eaters. They have their little intuitive eating, like, radar, doot-doot, on. It's on par. And they, like, try feeding a baby when it's not hungry. It's pretty impossible to do. Yeah. So we're getting back to that state. And, you know, this goes beyond just women and seeing their careers and actually being able to drop the obsession and focus on their what they're good at in the world and their careers, but also their children. We start to see their children have these beautiful intuitive eating tendencies too. Like, mom, like for breakfast, I want to have some hearts of palm and tofu this morning. It's like, imagine that, like a little child, you know, she has her little nutritional radar on. So
yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah. And what's coming to mind as you're talking about this too, is it's almost like what's really happening is you're learning how to trust yourself. You're learning how to really be self-dependent and self-assured rather than looking outside of you for what to do and how to eat or when to eat. But it's like, okay, my body knows what it wants and my body knows what it needs. And I can trust myself to take care of me without constantly depending on someone or something to tell me what I'm doing right or wrong.
Yeah. And as you can see, there can be a lot of like pitfalls and stumbling blocks along that way. If someone's doing it alone, if they don't have the right guidance on that, it's very easy to kind of relapse and like not see the bigger picture or see. It's very important to get the right guidance through this very specific process, or else you can see all the little like dieting mentality habits will just come in and kind of gobble up, kind of sabotage the process.
Yeah. So it's kind of like having somebody who can direct you and let you know, it's like, that's what that means. That's what that body signal means, or being able to understand really what your body's telling you. And it's almost like you're translating for people the language that their body is speaking so that they can actually start to understand it.
Yeah. It's like, I like to say, you are the expert of your body. I am the expert of this process. And so as I guide you through this process, it's up to you to, like you said, like you're translate and understand and trust that what your body is doing is actually like doing it right. A lot of people think they're broken. Like they come into it, there's something wrong with me. I'm broken. Like there's nothing I can do. And they'll think that they're the special circumstance. It's really interesting. Yeah. You probably see that too.
Yeah. Reminds me of this fun word, and I'm sure those of you that have been tuning in for a while, secondary gain, feeling special because your problem is so big that no one can solve it. which is a really interesting concept. And I'm curious how that shows up for your clients or the people that you work with when they've been dieting for so long and they've kind of had this mentality that, like, I can't get past this body weight and I just can't seem to fix myself or figure out how to actually feel good in my own body.
Yeah. And I think that's where that kind of trust and jumping, like, jump, there is a net, you know, like, yeah. It's a little bit of a scary thing. And if you can, you know, trust that the other side, and it's helpful to know that thousands and thousands of women have done this, you know, successfully and changed their worlds. It's nice to kind of have that in the back of your mind. But yes, it takes fierce trust. It takes an awareness of what I have been doing hasn't been working. You know, they come in and, yeah, I just want to lose 10 pounds. And that awareness isn't there. This is not for you.
Yeah, I hear you.
Much, much deeper. As you can tell.
Yeah, it's doing the deep intuitive eating spiritual work.
Exactly.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah. I love it. What's really interesting is I'm hearing you really just reflect a lot of this. What's coming to mind is how much this must really impact every other area of someone's life when they start to not just trust themselves with eating, right? When they start learning how to trust their body and trust themselves and listen to themselves, how that really has a ripple effect in them trusting themselves when it comes to relationships or trusting themselves when it comes to money or trusting themselves when it comes to their kids or with their career or all of these other things.
Yes. And I love that you brought that up because these things, these deeper beliefs, if they're not addressed, they are going to carry through to your financial habits, right? Like, money actually comes up quite a bit in this process because enoughness.
It's a big one.
It's a big one. Having enough, not wasting food, not being able to throw that last bite into the garbage. There's a lot of, you know, financial and relationship things that are hand in hand. So it's amazing that these women will come in and be like, I can't even, you know, for example, in relationships, I can't even let my husband touch me without feeling triggered. I can't let in that love because my body has so many years of hatred upon it. And so, you know, that not just like the sex life gets like, holla, like, yeah. Yep. I mean, can you imagine having sex and having no more body buttons? That is huge. That is a huge change in a relationship. And not only that, but like self-confidence, feeling your lover feel that from you. And in your career, you can actually do what you're passionate about in your career and do what you love in the world to such a higher degree when you have this confidence, this self-esteem, this knowingness. It's really like this vibrational aspect of certainty. And when we start talking about like you're radiating certainty, that does affect every single part of your life in a magical way.
Yeah, I love it. For those of you that have been tuning in for a while, we had a whole episode touching around frequencies and vibrational frequencies. And I love it that you brought this up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, it's true. When you're operating in a lower emotional state, and we've talked about this, and you guys can definitely go back and listen to that episode if you want more information on it. But to sum it up, when you're operating at a lower emotional state, for instance, guilt or shame, right? You're ashamed of your body, or you're feeling guilty about what you're eating, or you're angry with yourself, or you're frustrated with, you know, what's happening or how you look. That's really the emotional state that you're operating at on a regular basis. And therefore, that emotional state is literally the neurochemicals inside of it are moving at a much slower rate, which creates a much lower vibrational frequency. Therefore, you're emitting a much lower electromagnetic field. Therefore, you become less attuned and less attractive just in inside of that. And I love that you brought this up, because really what's happening when you're starting to, whether it's through intuitive eating or through self-love or embodiment or whatever it is, when you're starting to elevate your emotional state, when you're starting to really create the embodiment of living from a place of truly actually loving yourself, not just saying it, but really loving yourself and loving your body and being in alignment. So number one, your mental and your physical match, meaning that you love the way you look and you look the way that you love, right? And you just feel so good. that's then the emotional state that you're operating from, a place of love, of joy, of gratitude, where frustration and guilt and shame, they no longer exist because you've, in a way, eliminated these mentalities and these belief systems that have this identity attached to it that says, well, you look this way, so you're not worthy, or you're not enough, or you're not lovable, and you should feel guilty and be ashamed. And that no longer exists because you've learned how to embody this state that, like, I love me, and I'm perfect the way I am, and I trust my body. And now you're in such a place of coherence where you're emitting this incredible energy. And I'm sure many of you have felt this. What is the movie that Amy Schumer was in recently?
I feel pretty.
Yeah. Perfect example. Yes. Where when nothing physically changed, but because of the level of confidence, of self-assurance, of how much she really loved herself, she became so magnetic to other people. And I think that's such a huge point to touch on, is really at the end of all of this, when it comes to dieting or body image or all of the things, from my perspective, and I'd love to hear your opinion on it too, it's just you learning how to love yourself however you are right now and feeling confident in that and doing it from a place of health, right? Obviously, we can dive into this one too. Eating a shit ton of donuts and ice cream every day isn't really healthy. Sure, it's not restrictive, but it's not healthy either, right? So making sure that you're taking care of your body and feeling confident just radiates into every single area of your life.
Oh, I love that. Everything, yes. Yeah. And, you know, touching on that vibrational set point, like, that is why part of this process, there's 10 main principles in intuitive eating. And the last one is learning gentle nutrition. And it's last for a reason, because up to that point, if we just go to nutrition and we just, like, start out with that and we don't address all the other things, the vibrational set point isn't yet there. And it's not going to look like it would at the end when you have all these internal certainty points actually resonating from you, actually certain, and you have a knowingness and experience with them. So it's going to look a lot different. Nutrition is going to look a lot different when you have all these buried beliefs than when you're free and you can actually, like, sense, you know, from a higher vibrational standpoint, what vibration of food is actually going to resonate with you. And so, you know, that was my problem, is I was always trying to reach for that, like, high vibrational point, but emotionally I wasn't resonating at the same frequency of that. So it's very hard to, like, keep up with that. At some point it's going to break. I love that you brought that up. And yes, it's a very important point, is the nutrition aspect. And, like, over my work of, you know, coaching 500 plus people, I know that if you have, like, you know, a body food plan that doesn't address the stuff, I mean, it's not worth its salt in the way that it could sustainably really take you to where you want. So not to, like, bash any other kind of process, but it is that important, or else there will be some rebound or something at some point.
Yeah. I love it. And I'm curious, for our listeners out there who are just feeling just called to you, or they just really deeply resonate with your message, where can they find you? How can they get in touch with you? How can they really just learn more about Callie and all the things that you really touch on?
Yeah. So you can go on my website, forkchakra.com. There's actually a self-assessment quiz on my website on how good is your intuitive eater right now? Like, where is it at? And this, I would say, is really a great place to start, because this was adapted by the research over time that has been able to address intuitive eating specifically. So if you really want to know where you're at, go take that quiz on my website. Also, we have a epic Facebook community of women, and these are all women that, you know, I'm really cultivating that space as a sacred space where you can really dive into this journey with other women that are going through it.
We'll attach a link for you guys too. So if you're listening to this, go ahead and check that out. But what's the name of the community so they can go ahead and Google it or find you on Instagram or Facebook as well?
Yep. So it's the Fork Chakra Babes on Facebook. And then on Instagram, you can find me, Callie Ann Cutler.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Any other words of wisdom for someone who's really kind of dabbling in this, and maybe they've got some fear around it, or they're still working through a lot of the self-image and the body image, and they know the diets haven't been working. They're feeling really shitty with how what they've been doing previously. They may be in a place where they're like, you know, Callie, it sounds good, but I'm not sure. What's something that you would want to share with them?
I think, you know, knowing that that is normal, first of all, that is a beautiful place to be in of like, oh my gosh, I don't know, but I have some willingness inside. That's a beautiful place. And I saw this quote earlier today. It's, and then she faced her shadows so deeply and so completely that she fell in love with herself all over again. To reemerge from the ashes to the goddess she truly is.
Oh, new tattoo.
So juicy, right? So it's scary. The shadows are scary, but the light on the other side, the freedom, the peace on the other side is worth it, girl. That's what I have to say to you.
I love it. Oh, gosh. Warm and fuzzies everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All up in the feels.
Well, for real.
Thank you so much, truly, for taking the time out of your busy day and out of your busy schedule. I know that you work with so many amazing women. And the work that you do is just so powerful, not just from the place of, again, looking a certain way, but really feeling and creating a body that's in alignment with that, that you love and you vibrate at this incredible frequency. And every other aspect of your life, obviously, is just influenced and impacted by that. Your relationships, sex is great, career, all of the things. So thank you so much for just giving our audience such an incredible gift. And for those of you that want to find Callie, go check her out on Instagram, on Facebook. She's got some amazing content, and I would highly encourage checking out that community if you're feeling called to learn more.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So we love you.
Aw, so much love. All right, guys, have an amazing day, and we will see you on the next episode.